It all really came about with our own dogs. We've got the three dogs, and one of them, the older one, had a border collie, had to go off to the vet there and get some arthritis treatment. And we sort of said, oh, is there anything else we can help them with? And he said, well, fish oil tablets. And then the light bulb suddenly sprung above the head of, well, you know, let alone just the fish oil tablets, what if they were to have fish included in their diet on a regular basis? And that's where the concept of their fish treats came from. It was pretty much trying to do a win-win for everybody. Win for the commercial fishermen, where they were now able to sell products that in the past we either paid quite small amounts for or was considered waste. Obviously good for the environment with regard to a better utilisation of the fish resource. And of course, big win for the dogs because they get the goodness of the fish. It's great for joint treatments and that with the dogs. Also brilliant for their coats, that beautiful glossy coat. And great where it's a lean protein. So therefore they don't have the effects of other treats there where it's high in fat and therefore puts fat onto the dog.
You mentioned some of the fish that you're processing are of a low value. I think that might surprise people that you can't give some fish away. What kind of product line are you developing here?
Yeah, probably one of the main ones is for a number of years I have chased queenfish, and I had spent a long time trying to develop markets for queenfish because it always had been considered a very low value product. And I used to catch, or I still do catch, quite large quantities of it. And it's got to a point there where at some times there you couldn't sell it at all for human consumption. And I thought, this is just crazy. There's got to be a better alternative. And consequently, there probably a third to a half of the products I make is actually utilising the queenfish. So we've gone from a product where if we use it for human consumption, we're probably only using 25 to 30% of the fish. The products I've developed are using the actual tail of the fish, the skin of the fish, the meat of the fish, and then the skeleton that's left, which I can't use, is actually sent away and used in as organic fertiliser. So effectively now, 100% of the fish is used.
And as a loving dog owner, I know that we pet owners are prepared to pay for these treats.
It's true, it's true. I'm the bottom of it. I am just a manufacturer come wholesaler. So obviously by the time it goes through myself and then possibly through another wholesaler or middle person, then onto the shops, it starts to get up there in value. Pretty much what I've tried to do is keep it as cost effective as possible.
From my limited understanding of the pet food market, though, it's a global business, and some of the companies that you must be coming up against on the pet food store shelf, they're multinational companies. Were you worried that this was going to be a difficult market to break into?
Oh, it still is. Like, it has powered along considerably since it started just on 2 years ago. Biggest issue, of course, is getting people to realise the benefits of feeding their dogs fish. First time you mentioned that, most people go, oh, hang on, shouldn't that be for cats? They tend to find it a little bit hard to sort of come around as to where it's being fed to dogs.
Were you worried you might have been going for the wrong target market?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much at the start I thought that. However, I had done some research into it. I did look into it before I started, and there is a company in the UK that does exactly the same as I do, uses the skins from the cod fish industry over in the UK to make dog treats. And I was pretty heartened to know that they started as a husband and wife working out of their kitchen, and that was 12 years ago, and last year they sold the business to a multinational for $12 million. So I guess that gives you a little bit of incentive to take on the big guys and just see what you can do.
That's big bickies. Big dog bickies.
Yeah, big dog bickies. I have actually been in touch with that company in regard to, and sent them samples, and they were very keen to actually look at down the track of actually using some of our products there to expand their range. So not only is there a huge domestic market with 4.2 million dogs here in Australia, but the international market's just massive.
How are you going to find time to get out on that boat and catch some more fish?
Oh, well, hopefully one day I can go out and catch fish on a recreational basis for the fun of it there and let somebody else do all the work here. At the moment, I am a one-man operation. I do the whole lot. It is good because it allows me for product development, and that's pretty much where we have only been operating for 2 years. There is still product development going on. I've explained to a lot of my customers where yes, I know the fishing industry and I know what fish are available. I still don't know fully what the pet industry is about, so I rely on my customers to tell me what is required by way of a dog treat or dog chew in the pet industry.
Glenn Murray, I can see that you're very passionate and you seem like a really nice guy, but is there any chance we could move this interview a little bit further away from your processing room?
Certainly can, that's for sure. Yeah, it gets a little bit overwhelming after a while.
Just a little bit. I need some fresh air. Oh, that's better.
Well, this is the dehydrator. It simply works there. It's full stainless steel construction, so it's a full human standard dehydrator. And obviously, you can imagine the smell associated there with drying fish. It can be pretty extreme. So one of the things I had to develop was actually a smell muffler, is the best way to describe it. And that's actually a large container filled with charcoal, beads, the cooking beads in your barbecue. So that's got about 300 kilo of cooking charcoal beads in it, and the charcoal actually absorbs the smell. And so therefore, yes, we still have some smell, but it's only a fraction of what could be there. So that was part and parcel of the development process of actually making the treats as well.
I was going to say, I am getting an idea, but you're telling me it could be much worse.
It is, yes, yes. When I first did it, I didn't have that here, and pretty much neighbours for the first kilometre surrounding the building there soon told me that I needed to do something about the smell factor. So hence, what we have now is probably about 1/50th of what it used to, well, how it first started.
Okay, so what have we got cooking?
Okay, so when we open the cabinet up, we actually have a top shelf here. We actually have the fish biscuits we make using queenfish mince. Underneath it, we then have what I call a fish knot, and that's actually the queenfish skins after it's been taken off the meat. Underneath that, we have the tuna that we looked at before, the large whole tuna, and that's where it's then cut into little cubes, roughly about 2 centimetre square cubes, and dried as a treat. And on the bottom of that, we actually have whole pilchards, and that's where the whole fish is actually dried. The other side of the dryer, we then go into, we have our mackerel tails drying. We have fish nibble, and that's simply various reef fish there, cut into very small pieces and then dried. The mackerel tails, as we mentioned there, they come from the bloodline of the mackerel there, and that's just cut into little squares like that. Other items we have in there at the moment is our fish fingers and fish nuggets, and that's again queenfish cut in either strips or in cubes, and they are then coated in cartilage powder, and mackerel skins. So pretty much the way the dryer operates there is we can have, like this situation, we have 5 or 6 different products in there. So pretty much as I get my orders in, if I don't already have the product made up, I can simply produce the product, put it into the dryer like this and make orders.
I can feel a nice bit of heat coming back off that. How long does it take in the dehydrator to do the job?
The dehydrator, it again, because it is fully mechanised, it operates at a continual 50 degrees, controlled through thermostats that cut in and out, heating the air as it comes through. So it isn't sort of guessing, it's a very well-controlled temperature. Operating at 50 degrees, in general, some of the products take 2 to 3 days, others take 3 to 4 days.
Good enough to eat?
Pretty much, well, that's what the dogs think anyway.
Look, Glenn, this is fascinating, it's really interesting, but there's one opinion that we haven't sought yet, and that's your most important focus group.
Definitely, yeah. I've got 3 quality assurance officers there that live at home. Yeah, they're more than willing to assist there in the marketing and the research into the products, that's for sure.
Righto, let's go and meet them. That sounds like a good idea.
A bath.
Oh, who knows what they're going to get?
Who wants a treat? One for you. Are you all sitting, aren't you? Oh, yes, please.
I think you're on a winner here, mate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love their treats.